We're continuing with our focus on the story of 12-year-old New Jersey girl Mallory Grossman, who committed suicide after being cyberbullied. We'll look at ways that parents, teachers, and even children can become more aware and proactive when it comes to cyberbullying. For that information, we turn to someone who has spent years developing a program and ways to provide that needed education on what is a too often dismissed threat to teens as well as others. She is the president and CEO of Enough is Enough, Donna Rice Hughes. Thanks for being here today, Donna.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
And Donna's website for Enough is Enough and her programs is enough.org. And when I say she's a pioneer, going back to 1994, she was bringing a focus on cyberbullying. That was, strange enough to say, the infancy of the Internet, which is, as far as the timeline goes, is kind of odd to say. I referenced a stat in the previous segment, and I think this really magnifies the degree of cyberbullying, what it's progressed to. This was from Cyberbullying Research Center from last year. They did a survey, 5,700 teens, 12 to 17-year-olds, and of the respondents in the survey, 7.1% said that someone not just put a post or a photo, created a mean or hurtful web page about me. This is how far cyberbullying is progressing now.
Yeah, it is. What technology has allowed is for the meanness and bullying to be now become 24/7. And so cyberbullying is just simply bullying by using the technology. And the technology is exacerbating the problem because someone that's being bullied, all this information about them and the ugliness directed towards them can go viral. It can get other people involved. And it can make the child feel so helpless that they feel like they have no other choice to avoid it but to end their life. And that's what happened, I think, in the case of this sweet little girl, Mallory. When I look at her picture, I just want to cry. The pain of this is so intense. And we see kids more and more either, you know, going into depression and some of them, unfortunately, ending their life like this. And as you know, Chris, we were just talking about this before we got on the show here, that we do know Snapchat was involved. We do know that the mother did go to the school officials just hours before her daughter decided to take her own life out of helplessness. And there's just so much that can be done to prevent this. This is just, it's horrifying. It really is. And I hope that everyone listening, every parent, every grandparent, every teacher will stop and take notice and let this be a teachable moment, because none of our children are immune from being bullied, and none of our children really are immune from becoming a bully or just being an apathetic bystander. And one of the things that we encourage the bystander kids to do is to get proactive and to form a circle around the bullied child and to come alongside that child. Because one of the things that happens with bullying is that the child feels alone and isolated and hated and like they can't get away from it. And having friends that will be with them and hold up their hands and surround them is really important. One of the other really important things is for a parent not only to take action like this mother did, but to keep that line of communication open with the child, because the child needs a safe place to feel safe and to feel loved and to not feel that this is so hopeless that they would take this kind of an extreme measure to get away from it.
And when you think of trying to place myself in the life of a 12-year-old, in this case Mallory Grossman, we think it's great that they're so enthralled with all the technology, electronics, but then in this case, that meant there was really no escape for Mallory, because she would go to her smartphone, to her computer. She was prone to any outlet that she had been enthralled and enthused by.
Right.
And to have it done by a peer who, you want to admit it or not, as an adult, teens will go to peers before they go to parents. And they find the hope for a understanding and a safety zone or a comfort zone with peers, but then here's a peer attacking me.
Yeah, that's right, and that's why it's important for the other peers, you know, to come alongside, to stand up to the bully and say, no, this has got to stop, and that the bullied kid feels like she's got or he's got friends that are with him. And like I said, the parent is so important, and parents around them. And one of the things that's really, to me, very troubling, because we have tried to get schools across the country to implement good proactive preventative programs, education programs, school plans to deal with bullying, and apparently this particular school had, you know, checked all the boxes. They had a great cyberbullying prevention plan and program in place, supposedly. But here's what's so important. This is about relationships. This is about the heart and the mind of these kids. And just checking boxes, you know, and giving yourself a good score as a school is not going to prevent this kind of thing from happening. It can help, but this is really relational. And this is, again, where counselors can come in, teachers can come in and put their arm around the bully child, and they can rebuke and deal with the bully, and there needs to be consequences. And in many instances, the parent of the bully child calling the parent of the bully can be a very helpful thing. I was just having dinner with some friends last night whose boy was bullied when he was a teenager, and they had to call the dad, and they said the dad was very troubled and dealt with it, but the mother was not my child, not my sweet child. He would never do that.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we tell parents to do and to tell the child to do is if they're being bullied, never delete or erase any of the messages from the bullies, all right, because you want that information to be able to use to show, first of all, accountability, to get the cyberbullying to stop, and to make sure that the parent understands what their child has done in the bullying efforts, and it really becomes a record of the abuse. And so there's a lot that can be done, but we're living in a mean culture, and this technology can exacerbate this meanness in a way that is 24/7, like you said. It used to be if you were bullied at school, you could come home, shut the door, be with your family, and shut it off. But now with the technology, it's 24/7. So some of the warning signs, Chris, are if you have a child that's really loved technology or really liked going to school and been social or whatever, and you start to see a change in that behavior, if they become more withdrawn, if they don't want to use technology anymore, they don't want to go to school anymore, they become depressed, these kinds of things, these are warning signs. And it may be cyberbullying. It may be that they're being stalked by somebody. There could be a sexual predator issue involved. There can be pornography involved. There can be all kinds of things going on. But it's just important to keep lines of communication open with your child and make sure that you're the safe place for them to come to talk to about anything they're dealing with, online or offline.
Right, we're on time with Donna Rice Hughes, who is the president and CEO of Enough is Enough. Enough.org is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And that's where you can also learn more about Donna's Internet Safety 101 program, which the elements are fantastic, Donna, because with the tools that you provide parents and peers and educators and administrators and counselors versus the just checking off lists of here's what we're doing, whether or not it's working or not, you help with your tools build the connections necessary to repair the damage that gets done.
Yes, that's right. And the website is internetsafety101.org, and there's a cyberbullying section there, and we've got a lot of resources, how to recognize warning signs. And one of the things, too, that I failed to mention, Chris, is that I think it's really important that parents know what their kids are doing online. I highly recommend monitoring technology on all their Internet-enabled devices, and also filtering technology. But the monitoring technology will let the parent see what kinds of conversations and communications are going back and forth, and they can start to step in before it gets that bad. So we highly recommend that parents use the technology tools that are available. They're easy to use. We've got lists of them on our website at the 101 site. And stay on top of it. Like I said, you know, use the safety measures. That's in the safety rules section of our safety information. But then the tools. The tools will help you keep your kids safe. And let your kids know you're using those tools, not to spy on them or anything else, but to help parent them in this age of technology where things can go can go bad really fast. And the kids just aren't necessarily equipped to deal with all of this, whether it's a sexual predator or a cyber bully or what have you, because they're kids. They're kids. And we need to get involved and become good cyber parents as parents and grandparents and just recognize that this stuff is happening everywhere. And you know, there's something we can do to be proactive and to make sure that our kids aren't victims of this kind of thing or that they are not causing any problems themselves or somebody else.
This website's again, InternetSafety101.org and enough.org. Vital information, important information, as Donna said, to prevent the tragedy as opposed to have to react often weekly to the tragedy. We've been talking with Donna Rice Hughes, who's the president and CEO of Enough is Enough. Again, enough.org, InternetSafety101.org. Donna, thanks so much for the guidance, the education, and the resources that you provide that will hopefully prevent any more of these tragedies from happening. So thanks for doing that, for being here.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me.